This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
What is the primary purpose of the preaching of Christ in the church? Is it the evangelization of the lost, or is it the growth and maturity of the believer? Stay tuned for the answer to this question as we continue our study of the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Heavenly Father, as we study your word today, I pray that your Holy Spirit will open its riches for us. I pray that anyone who is listening who has never received Christ will come to saving faith. And I pray that believers in Christ will be built up in the faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We've come to the point in our series on the book of Colossians where we're dealing with chapter 1, verse 28. This verse is the climax of chapter 1. The Apostle Paul has been building up to this point. He has declared the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, in the creation, in the church, and in genuine gospel ministry. And now in verse 28, he says that it is this Christ whom we preach. Him we preach, he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. In this verse, Paul is telling us what it means to really preach Christ. There are many churches and many preachers who claim that they preach Christ. And some of them have the right to say that because they are preaching Christ, the genuine Christ. And they're preaching the way that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that Christ must be preached. But there are also many other churches and preachers in our time, many of which bear the label evangelical or even fundamental or Bible-believing, where Christ is not preached according to the prescribed pattern that Paul gives us here. In many churches, there is no preaching at all today. There is a conversation, and that's the big fad in many churches today. At least the man up front is honest enough not to pretend to be preaching. But the conversation that has taken the place of preaching is all about what man thinks about spiritual things. It's not about what God's Word says. In many churches, there is storytelling. The so-called preacher stands up front and spins out some kind of a yarn or fable and tries to give you some kind of moral application, but there's never anything from the Bible. Nobody ever tells you how to be saved. And in many churches today, you find that there is some kind of a psychological presentation instead of preaching. I was talking with a man recently about spiritual things, and this man goes to an evangelical church, and he said to me, "You know, much of the time when I go to church, I don't feel like I'm in church. I feel like I'm in a rehab meeting. The pastor is telling me how to do 3 things or 10 steps that are supposed to help me deal with my problems. But none of it comes from the Bible. It's just psychology." And that is the sad situation in many churches today. The Apostle Paul tells us that the true preaching of Christ is different from all of these things. And last time I gave you 4 propositions from Colossians 1:28. That tell why and how Christ must be preached. And I want to begin today by giving you those 4 propositions once again. Proposition number 1, Christ must be preached because he is the only hope of sinners. To preach Jesus Christ is to proclaim the person and work of Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe, the savior of sinners, and the Lord of the church. Proposition number 2 is this: Christ must be preached because every Christian needs to be warned. Proposition number 3, Christ must be preached because every Christian needs to be taught. And finally, proposition number four, Christ must be preached because every Christian needs to become mature in Christ. Notice once again that Paul says that it is Him that we preach. The genuine preaching of Christ preaches a person. The primary focus is on the person of Christ. The primary focus is on who He is. I said this last time, and I want to say it again today, and I hope you'll listen carefully. The primary focus is not on what Christ has done. The primary focus is on who Jesus Christ is. That needs to be the order. Christ's person first, Christ's work second. Both are essential. But here's the reason for the order. Jesus Christ could not have done what He has done unless He is who He is. Only God could create the universe. Only God could sustain the universe at this present moment. Only God could do what was necessary to save sinners. Only God could be the head of the church. Only God could bring all of His redeemed people to glory and perfection. No one else could do what Jesus Christ has done, because no one else is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God Himself. That is why we preach Him, Paul says. That is why we preach Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the image, the exact representation of the invisible God. He is the one who existed before anything else existed. He is the one for whom everything was created, and that includes us. He's the one who is the head of the church. He's the one on whom you must believe in order to be saved, because He is the only one who is qualified to save you. Now I want to tell you how I plan to approach this verse, Colossians 1:28, and the rest of this message and in the ones to follow. First of all, today I want to give an exposition of the meaning of the key words in this verse. Paul uses the phrase every man three times in verse 28. What does he mean by that? What does he mean when he speaks of warning every man? What does he mean when he speaks of teaching every man? And what about the phrase in all wisdom? What does that mean? And what does Paul mean when he says that the goal is that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus? And then in subsequent messages, I want to go into more depth and specifics on some of these points, especially the area of application. In what ways should the genuine preaching of Christ from the Word of God warn you as a believer? In what ways should the genuine preaching of Christ from the Word of God teach or instruct you as a believer? And how does the genuine preaching of Christ from the Word of God prepare you for that day when you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, when you will stand before Him, if you are a believer, not as a condemning judge, but as your loving Savior? So we're going to go into greater depth from the standpoint of application on all of those things. But today, let me draw your attention to some key words and phrases in Colossians 1:28. We're going to look at 6 points and some matters of application along the way. First of all, Paul says, Him we preach. An expanded translation of those words from the original Greek would read like this: We proclaim the emphatic meaning of that which has been fulfilled in the person of Christ. Let me say that again. We proclaim the emphatic meaning of that which has been fulfilled in the person of Christ. The word for preaching here is related to the Greek word that is used for the proclamation of the gospel, the word that is used for evangelism, but it is a different word with a different focus. In the context of this part of Colossians chapter 1, Paul speaks about evangelism, the proclamation of the good news of the gospel, but he is speaking more specifically here about the preaching that must occur in the church if those who are already saved, those who have already believed the gospel and received Christ, if they are going to grow to spiritual maturity in Christ. He's speaking of the kind of preaching that you as a believer need to hear week in and week out, year in and year out, in order to grow to maturity and completion in Christ. That's the focus when Paul says, Him we preach. We proclaim the emphatic meaning of that which has been fulfilled in the person of Christ. Genuine preaching proclaims Christ to Christians in such a way that the end result will be that Christians will grow and mature. Secondly, Paul says we preach Christ warning every man, warning every man. What does he mean by warning? The word that he uses here means to impart understanding, to instill a way of thinking, and to do that in such a way that this new understanding, this new way of thinking, will have a corrective influence on you. In other words, it's going to set you right in your thinking in areas where you have been wrong in your thinking. It's the same thought that is behind the Greek word for repentance, metanoia, a change of mind. It's the same thought that is behind Paul's exhortation in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Literally, the renovation of your mind, a complete change in your way of thinking. Thirdly, Paul uses the phrase every man three times in this verse, warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man. What does he mean by every man? Who is it that he is warning and teaching through the preaching of Christ? Who is it that is going to be presented complete in Christ? The focus in the grammar of the original Greek of this verse is not on all of mankind, but on a particular class of individuals that are determined by the context. And in this case, the context is clear from verses 27 and 28. Obviously, not every man in the entire human race is going to be presented complete in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking of every man among those of you who have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul is speaking to those to whom he addressed this letter in chapter 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren who are in Christ. In other words, every man in this context means every believer. The preaching of Christ within the church is to be aimed primarily at the believer. The preaching of Christ within the church is, first of all, so that every believer may be warned, so that every believer will undergo a renovation of his thinking, a change from thinking after the ways of the world to thinking after the way of Christ. Fourthly, Paul says that the genuine preaching of Christ is for the purpose of teaching every man, teaching every man. What does he mean by teaching? The word that he uses means to impart doctrine, doctrine about the person of Christ and about his work of salvation, first of all, and then doctrine about the life that the saint is to live in light of the doctrine of Christ and salvation, the life that you are to live in your relationships with other believers and with the world. Now, you can teach an unbeliever how to live a moral life from the pages of the Bible. And there are many churches that do that, and many people who take the moral precepts that we find in the Bible as a guide for life. But teaching people how to live a moral life in any way that is not built on the foundation of regeneration in Jesus Christ does them absolutely no eternal good. That does not save a sinner. Faith in Christ, salvation, must come first, and only then can a genuine change from a world-centered way of thinking to a Christ-centered way of thinking come about. It is only then, as Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 tells us, that we can truly bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. That is, works that are congruous with, in accord with, in agreement with, the fact of repentance. Fifthly, Paul uses the phrase, in all wisdom, in Colossians 1:28. In all wisdom. What does this mean? It means in every form of wisdom, in every kind of wisdom, in every area of wisdom. And the grammatical reference is to both warning every man and teaching every man. Paul is saying we warn every man in every area of wisdom, and we teach every man in every area of wisdom. Now, I've mentioned several times before in this series that Paul uses words that the pagans and the false teachers had misappropriated for their own evil purposes. And here we have another case of that. The false teachers at Colossae claimed that there was higher knowledge for the few, for the spiritually elite, for the smart people, for the initiated, for the people who were of a philosophic turn of mind, and for the dummies, everybody else, for the ignorant masses. All that remained for them was an unthinking, mindless kind of faith that just went along with whatever the so-called spiritual elites said was true. But this is not what the Bible teaches, Paul says. This is not what I am declaring to you, Colossians. What I am telling you, Paul says, is that the highest wisdom, the wisdom that is in Christ and in His Word, every bit of it is freely open to all. And Paul expresses the same thing at the beginning of the next chapter. He says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and notice, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And then point number 6, Paul says that the end goal of preaching Christ in the church is that we may present every man, every believer, perfect in Christ Jesus. Notice the use of that same word, present, back at verse 22. Paul says, "And now you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He, Jesus, has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." And Paul says the goal is that we may present you perfect. What does he mean by that? The word that is translated perfect signifies being complete, being a finished product, lacking nothing. The idea is that at the last judgment, the fact that we are complete in Christ, finished, lacking nothing, fully initiated into all that He has done and all that He is, that perfection and that completeness is going to be exhibited and put on display before the entire watching universe. There will be nothing lacking in us, because there is nothing lacking in Christ. He is all in all. He is preeminent. And as Paul will say later in Colossians, you are complete in Him. Here again, as he has many times before in chapter 1, Paul is using language that the Colossians would have heard from the false teachers. They said that you needed to be gradually initiated into the mysteries of their religion, much in the same way that the Masonic Lodge, which is actually a religion in itself, says that you have to go through 32 or 33 degrees of initiation before you can reach the top of the ladder in their religion, before you can know its deepest secrets. But Paul is saying that although Christian doctrine needs to be learned, and Christian doctrine has its mysteries, it has things that were hidden in times past but are now revealed. Although that is true, all of these things are open to every Christian, not just to some elite group. In Christ, the goal is for every believer to be complete in Christ, to be fully initiated into all the wisdom that is in Christ. These things are the purpose of preaching in the church. Recognize that all wisdom, all truth, has its source in Christ. Let me say these things by way of application before we close. Don't go looking for the source of wisdom anywhere else. Don't look for it in lodge religion or philosophy or psychology or in the cults or in a feel-good church. You won't find it there. You'll only find it in Christ and in His Word. And understand that you have to look at all of human knowledge and all of human wisdom through the lens of Scripture. That is the key to proper discernment. And this goes for every discipline and every walk of life, not just the things that we normally categorize as spiritual things. This is what it means to be a Scripture-driven Christian and a Scripture-driven church. God's inspired and errant Word must be your sole authority. and your infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. What does that mean practically? It means that if you work behind the counter at McDonald's, the Word of God should affect the way you approach your job and the way you do your job. It should affect how you deal with your boss and your coworkers. It should affect how you deal with customers, how you deal with the product. If you're a medical doctor, the Word of God should affect the way you approach your job and the way you do your job. It should affect your ethics. It should affect how you apply your scientific and clinical knowledge to your patients. It should affect your thinking about the preservation of life. If you're a salesman, the Word of God should convict you of right and wrong so that you always deliver an honest sales pitch. You never cheat a customer. You never fill out a dishonest expense report. If you're a wife working long hours to take care of your home and to take care of your husband and your children, if you have children, the same thing. The Word of God should affect how you love and submit to your husband in the Lord, whether he's a believer or not. It should affect how you love and teach and discipline your children. The Word of God should be your resource and your guide in the most difficult and trying circumstances that come with the very hard work of homemaking. And moms and dads, this means that the Word of God should govern how you deal with each other and the kind of godly example of a loving relationship that you place before your children and before others outside your home. It should inform and influence the things that you let your children watch on television and on their computers. And the Word of God should also govern the things that you let yourself watch on television and on your computer. The kinds of music your family listens to, the kinds of things you read and don't read, the kinds of places you go and don't go, and the influence of the wisdom of the Word of God should cause Christian parents to place great priority on the family, on the importance of the family unit, on the importance of family relationships. And this is something that is so much missing, even in Christian families today. Whoever you are, and whatever you do, the Word of God should affect the way you approach what you do and the way you do it, because all wisdom has its source in Jesus Christ and in Holy Scripture.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, is profitable. How much profit do you gain from your reading and study of God's Word? How can you learn to profit more? Arthur W. Pink answers these questions in one of the best books on the subject. The book is called Profiting from the Word, and we're sending it free and postage paid as our way of saying thanks to anyone who gives a gift to help support the broadcast. Arthur Pink was one of the best Christian writers of the 20th century, and Profiting from the Word is one of his best works. Whether you're a young person or an adult, whether you're a new Christian or a longtime believer, we're sure that you'll find Profiting from the Word to be a tremendous help in your walk with Christ. We'll be glad to send a copy to anyone who gives a gift of any amount to support the broadcast at this time. If you'd like to give by credit card, you can call us toll-free in the United States at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. You can also give a gift online by going to our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the support link. That's the support link at teachingtheword.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158. Once again, that's Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And once again, our toll-free number is 888-804-9655, and our website is teachingtheword.org. On our next program, we're going to learn what Paul means when he says that every Christian needs to be warned, and how that applies to your life as a Christian, as we continue our study in Colossians chapter 1. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for praying for the broadcast. And until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.